Good morning. Our passage today comes from Mark 6. I'll be reading verses 7 through 11, and then verses 30 through 44. This is a great passage because it talks about Jesus commissioning the 12 disciples, sending them out to do ministry, and then they come back together, and we have a part two of that story, of Jesus continuing to work with them and learning how to minister. So here's part one. Jesus called the 12 to him, and he began to send them out in twos. And he gave them power over unclean spirits, and he ordered them to take nothing for the road except a staff. And he ordered them not to take bread or a wallet or a copper coin in their belts. He ordered them to wear sandals, and he said, "You must not put on two tunics." He said to them, "Wherever you enter into a house, stay there until you leave that place. And if any place refuses to give you hospitality, and if any place they will not listen to you, when you leave there, shake off the dust from the soles of your feet to bear witness to the fact that they were guilty of such conduct." And then in verse 30 and forward, we have, "The disciples came together again to Jesus, and they told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, 'Come you by yourselves into a lonely place and rest for a while.' For there were many coming and going, and they could not find time even to eat. So they went away in the boat to a lonely place all by themselves. And many saw them going away and recognized them, and they ran together there on foot from all the towns and went on ahead of them. When Jesus disembarked, he saw a great crowd, and he was moved to the depth of his being with pity for them, because they were like sheep who had no shepherd. And he began to teach them many things." When it was now late, the disciples came to Jesus. "The place," they said, "is lonely, and it is now late. Send them away that they may go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." He answered, "You give them something to eat." "Are we," they said to him, "to go away and buy 10 pounds worth of loaves and so give them something to eat?" "How many loaves have you?" he said to them. "Go and see." And when they had found out, they said, 5 and 2 fishes. He ordered them to make them all sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in sections of hundreds and of 50s. And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and he looked up into the heaven and blessed them and broke the loaves. And he gave them to the disciples to serve the people with them. And he divided up the 2 fishes among them all. And they all ate until they were completely satisfied. And they gathered the broken pieces of bread and what was left of the fishes, 12 basketfuls. And those who ate the loaves amounted to 5,000 men. This is obviously the story of a great miracle. Not only the miracle of God using his people, his disciples, Jesus sending them out to minister and having them come back a success as they told their stories, but the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. And we have this miracle of the feeding of 5,000 in all 4 Gospels, and it's the only miracle that's in all 4 Gospels. I think that one of the biggest themes that I see that I want to highlight for today is also in a scripture, James chapter 1, verse 22, where it tells us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. And James explains what that means. He contrasts it to a man who looks in a mirror and looks at himself, not so intently really, and then forgets what he looks like. But he says somebody that's a doer of the word, he defines that in verse 25. He says the one who's a doer of the word is the one who looks intently into the perfect law of freedom and perseveres in it and is not forgetful, but is a doer and not a hearer only. That person will be blessed in whatever he does. See, the word that God speaks to us through scripture and other ways, we're admonished by James to look at it intently, deeply, so that we persevere towards it. This is what I see happening with Jesus and the disciples. He's been teaching them. And finally, they're ready to go out and minister. And he sends them out with very little. He says, just go. And with what you have, minister. And when they came back and they all gathered back together, we're told that they had stories to share. And they told Jesus all that they had taught and all that they had done. And that's when Jesus says, well, let's go away to a lonely place and rest for a while. Meaning, let's go to a place where there's not a lot of people and recharge ourselves. I think that's something we all like to do. Around here, I think a favorite place that we like to go is the coast, the Oregon coast, or the mountains. But we like to go to those places where we can get away from the neediness of people. It sometimes doesn't matter if there's other people around, but if they know you, then it matters. Because chances are, if you have something they want or need, they'll find you and they'll ask for it. Certainly in the case of Jesus, they knew that he had healing in his wings, in the tassels of his very robe, just like the woman who touched the hem of his garment and was healed. The stories were there where they knew that Jesus brought healing. And not only that, they knew that when Jesus looked on the crowds, he was moved with compassion. So it's interesting that Jesus says, let's go away to this lonely place. And then people in the countryside see Jesus and his disciples going away to a lonely place. And they run ahead. So Jesus and his men are in boats and they're heading across the lake. People run around the lake. When they get there, Jesus is confronted by this crowd. But Jesus isn't annoyed. You know, the disciples are hungry. They're tired. They're looking forward to a meal. We're young men, you know. Time to eat. Time to rest. But Jesus is moved with compassion. Jesus is teaching that in order for us to be a success for the kingdom of God, as a follower of Jesus, we have to let the Lord touch us so that our heart feels things that his heart feels. I'm not talking about emotions. I'm talking about the very heart of God. It's a good prayer to pray that God will help us to have a heart like his. Because God has perfect love. And he knows just the right thing to give of himself to others. But Jesus is teaching them that sometimes God asks us to do things on God's timetable. Sometimes we have to go a little bit outside of our schedule. And I actually see Jesus doing that a lot. He's being interrupted a lot all through the Gospels. But he does make it sometimes to that mountaintop where he can pray. He does get away. It's just that it's not always as planned. when I interact with people, I'm sure as you interact with people, it's not as planned. And when we really care about people and really love people, we can know that that's okay, that there's got to be some flexibility if there's going to be love, because the needs of people aren't always laid out on a schedule. But I think Jesus is also teaching his disciples the difference between a hearer of the word and a doer of the word. A doer of the word is somebody who's constantly looking intently on what the Lord has told them, what the Lord has taught them. I've taken classes before where I didn't pay that much attention, and then I would just study my notes or get together with a classmate, and we'd put our notes together, we'd take the test, and move on to the next class. Quite frankly, I don't remember a lot of the content from those classes. The classes that really have made a difference to me are the ones that I listened intently to. And those classes have stayed with me. Or let's take, for example, a book. We have all had books that we've read and they were okay books. But every once in a while, you read a book that grabs you. And you read it intently. And you hear the words on the pages of that book to the point where even though you only read the book once, it's as if parts of it are memorized and they stay with you the rest of your life. I read a book once called The Peace Child by Don Richardson. And he talks about how in every culture, God provides a key whereby we can enter a culture and share the gospel of God's love and God's grace through Jesus without having to destroy the culture. And you know, that stayed with me to the point where now when I'm ministering to others, I don't always know their background or their family culture, but I know that God does. And so I ask the Lord, show me the key into this family culture so that I can bring your love. And you know, it's an amazing insight. See, that's how God's word is. It will speak to us and we will hear it intently and it brings freedom. Read that, James chapter 1, 22 through 25. Spend time on that because that's a key verse for us as disciples. And I believe Jesus is teaching his disciples here how to listen intently to what he said. So they come back to the people in their mind and in their heart. They return to the people. Jesus brings them back to ministry. It's like, it's not time just for us anymore. I've been moved with compassion and I'm going to minister to these folks. I'm going to teach them. And then I'm going to show them how to be a doer of the word by telling you to be a doer. And even though you want to send them away, I'm going to tell you to feed them. You feed them. It's interesting to read this story in all four Gospels, but that's basically what he said. He says, you feed them. Don't send them away. You feed them. He goes, how much food do you have? He says, go check. Well, we got 5 loaves, 2 fishes. Well, that's interesting. As up to 7. 7 is a number of completion, perfection. So this story is telling us, when you're a doer of the word, there's going to be enough. You may not think you have enough, but give what you have. And we're told they broke the bread. Every Sunday when we do communion, we break the bread. And it represents his body broken for us. And we take of the cup. It represents his shed blood for us. That's the crux of the gospel. We take that. We peer intently into that. And then we become doers by picking up our cross and following him and being moved with compassion and caring for others and offering to God what little we have Because as we offer it, it becomes more than enough. And it's a miracle how it does. And I know you have stories and I have stories. How what seemed little became much. You know, the world right now is starved for the love of God. I would even say Christians are starved for the love of God. We're all starved for the love of God. Let's all start looking intently into His Word. If you're doing devotions, don't just do a devotion. Look intently into it. Pick passages from your devotions that will stay with you. And let the Lord speak to you through those passages. But really listen to the Lord. Lord, what are you saying to me today in this situation? It's amazing the miracles that God does, that I see happening, when I'm willing to see what He sees and hear what He hears. And I ask God to open my eyes to what God sees and to open my ears so that I can be a doer of what He's teaching me. There's so much here, but in these pandemic times, what else can I give? This passage is amazing. You know, read the Great Commission. It's in Matthew chapter 28. We're told there that Jesus had all authority over heaven and earth, and He was passing authority onto His followers so that we could disciple others and baptize others in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and to teach them. What are we to teach them? We're to teach them to hear intently, to look intently, to peer into His Word, and to become a doer of the Word. May the Lord help us, and may we all be doers of the Word in this coming week.